So this, I mean, I'm a big fan of Johnny Flynn, actually. I think Johnny Flynn's great. So this is nominally a film about Bowie in America in 1971 on a tour in which he isn't able to play because he doesn't have a work permit, but he's just there doing interviews to promote The Man Who Sold the World. And it stars Johnny Flynn as David Bowie. And I'm a big Johnny Flynn fan. I think he's a brilliant actor. I think he's a really good musician. And then he's there, the stateside publicist, Ron Oberman. At the beginning of the film, there is a thing which says, what follows is, in brackets, mostly fiction. And that just doesn't even begin to describe the mostly fiction that it is. Because one of the problems that they have is that they don't have any the rights to the Bowie material. So what you've got is something which is mostly fiction and is also dancing around the fact that this is David Bowie talking about songs he's written that you cannot hear at all because they don't have the rights. Anyway, here's a clip from Stardust.
Wavell's got doubts, you know, that's all.
Clearly.
But I don't.
You don't?
No. I think you're gonna be the biggest goddamn star in America. Seriously, man, this is a great record. It's a great record. It's just no one knows how to sell you in America, right? They just don't care enough, you know?
And you do.
Hell yeah, I do. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a minority of one, but all it takes is one believer to change the world, right? And we got two.
Two?
You believe in yourself, don't you? Because if you don't, we're really.
So I went into this open-minded because I tried not to read much stuff about it. I mean, I knew that, you know, that they didn't have the rights to the Bowie songs, and so inevitably what you do in those cases, you end up using cover versions like, you know, Jacques Brel's My Death. I mean, in fact, if you look at Backbeat, that was a film which told an early Beatles story through the use of cover versions. And if you look at films like Todd Haynes's Velvet Goldmine, it is possible to work around these kind of restrictions. We've all seen films about Jimi Hendrix in which you're not able to use Jimi Hendrix music. That's not necessarily a complete disaster. What is, I have to say, a complete disaster is the script of this film, which essentially reduces the, I mean, under the guise of this is mostly fiction, reduces the whole idea of Bowie to a single paranoid obsession with the idea that he is frightened of family schizophrenia, and this absolutely terrifies him, and therefore this is the thing that inspires the idea that he's got to perform and be other characters and put on other personas, and he's asked, you know, who is David Bowie, and all the time he's haunted by these flashbacks in it, and it's done in the most crass, boring, unimaginative, sledgehammer, you know, absolutely lacking in subtlety or wit or invention, which of course are exactly the things that define Bowie's career. No matter what you I'm a huge Bowie fan, but I don't think it's like you can't possibly approach this subject. But I think to approach a subject like Bowie and to do it in a way which is so naff, do it in a way which is so creaky and even takes great performers, and I think Johnny Flynn is a great performer, and gives him dialogue that frankly nobody would manage to deliver without it being risible. Plus the working round the fact that they aren't able to use the material. So, you know, videos which are sort of a little bit like 2001 and kind of remind you of the Space Oddity video, but not. Album covers which aren't quite what they are, but they kind of remind you of the thing, but they're not. Journalists quoting the lyrics to The Man Who Sold the World and actually going, you know, yesterday upon the stairs I met a man who wasn't there. What did you mean when you said that? To which the answer is, well, I didn't say that. That's the poem that's inspirational in the background, but obviously we're doing that because... So all the time you're sitting there watching this thinking, firstly, you know, you are hobbled by the... I mean, one of the things I know some of the filmmakers have said is, look, you know, because it's not authorized, it gives us the freedom to do stuff that we couldn't do otherwise. Well, yeah, maybe. But that freedom you haven't done anything with that's inventive or interesting. I mean, I have seen biopics or pictures, you know, films about pop stars that aren't authorized that have managed to work really brilliantly with that. This isn't one of those. What this looks like is just this really naff camp pantomime that reduces everything that's interesting about that period of Bowie's career and indeed, you know, the pop culture that surrounded it, and reduces it down to a single naff gag. The thing that it reminded me of most, and I don't say this as a compliment, is Grand Theft Parsons, which is a film which again took a really interesting and heartbreaking story and just turned it into a bad joke. And I, all the time I was watching this, I kept thinking, I mean, my toes were curling. The portrayal of Mark Bolan is just awful. And I kept thinking, you know, am I falling into that thing of being a, you know, I'm a Bowie fan, but I think many people are Bowie fans. Am I falling into that thing about, oh, you can't touch that because it's something I love? And I thought, no, I mean, I do love Velvet Goldmine. I do love other things that have drawn on that iconography. This, it's just, honestly, it's so naff. And that's the one thing that Bowie never was. And it reduces this kind of complex series of ideas and inventions and wit. I mean, one of the things about Bowie was he's really funny. He's really, really funny. And this film isn't funny, except that you do find yourself laughing at it rather than with it. It's really very bad.
I'm slightly puzzled as to why you would take a really, really interesting subject, even with all the problems that, as you said, they had because they didn't have the music right, and come up with a story which is, in our lifetimes, which is mostly fiction. Is that like a legal get out?
It's a way of saying, but actually it's closer to the truth than you would imagine. And you go, yeah, right. There is only one word to describe it, and it is naff. And it's interesting because I was involved peripherally in the Bowie exhibition from some years ago when they were doing the catalogue, and there was a kind of organised conversation between some of us about, you know, Bowie's future and, you know, what he was going to do, because it was a while back now. And I remember you sit in a room, you talk about Bowie for 2 hours, and you realise that you're only scratching the surface, because there's the incredible creativity of that period, actually throughout his career. The fact that he was making some of his best work up until the very moment that he died is extraordinary. And it's just this, you know, if you're a Bowie fan, listen to your records, or, you know, it's all there. There is nothing that this film gives you that you didn't already know, that you either didn't already know from the music or you didn't already know from interviews. And all the things that are wrong with it just make it annoying. But it's naff, naff, naffity, naff, naff, naffy, nardust, and the naffness from naff.
Is Johnny Flynn a convincing David Bowie?
No.
All that aside?
No, and I really like Johnny Flynn, but the point is, the reason he's not convincing David Bowie is not because he's not a brilliant actor, which he is, not because he's not a brilliant musician, because he is, but the script is so rubbish.